Today's guest is my friend, John Stupka. For the past 20 years, he's successfully consulted in the sales of medical equipment and products to all types of specialists in the healthcare industry, as well as owned his own aesthetic spa. However, not only is John a friend and a business partner in some ventures and very successful, but I really know him as one of the most loving and devoted sons I have ever witnessed. John's love of family and desire to spend time with his parents as they age made me fall in love with him even more. He has so many qualities that would honestly just make me wish I was his mother as well. Although John is not a father, he truly is everything I would hope my son one day will be. Meet John Stupka.
I think there's one thing that I've practiced the most that I can is to not be judgmental of anything or anyone, or, you know, I think I just go in with eyes wide open, because at the end of the day, I think everybody is on the planet trying to achieve the same thing: happiness, have some love, you know, and be joyful. Really? I mean, what else is there?
Welcome to the Strong Man Podcast with Dr. Rimka. One mom's quest to support her son through his rites of passage and becoming what I hope is a man of courage, resilience, and compassion in a world seemingly gone mad. All right, you guys. So here I have my good friend, John Stupka. And you heard a little bit about him from my intro, but now you get to hear it from the man himself. And so, you know, John, you texted me earlier, like, hey, are there going to be some questions? I'm like, nope, we're just going to go with it. You know, but today we're going to talk about masculinity, and you may not totally know, but the, you know, what I kind of said is I'm basically just interviewing a bunch of guys. Most of them I know, and the ones that I know, like you, it kind of comes down to this. At some point I've said to myself, oh my God, John is so great. I hope Bennett turns out like him. Like at some point that's what's crossed my mind, right? Yeah. There are qualities that you have that I'm like, oh man, like if Bennett turns out like John, I'm winning. Like I will have done a good job. So all that's to say is like your mom and dad and you have done an amazing job. And I respect who you are as, you know, a human, a man or whatever. And you have qualities that I wish my son one day would be like you. You know what I mean?
So well, no, thank you. I appreciate it.
So that's where it's coming from. And although you're not a parent, there are certainly, I've interviewed quite a few men who are not parents. It's kind of a parenting podcast in a way, right? You know, like a single mom's journey and raising a boy and into being a good, honorable man. And there are things like, obviously women don't know about what it's like to be a boy and what it's like to be a man. And, I do firmly believe in that, like, psychological rite of passage that, you know, women, we create little girls and help turn them into women, and men help take boys and eventually in that teen years and help turn them into men. This is the way we've been doing it for a long time. And that can look very different what women and men will look like in the world. But in general, we've had these tribal communities, we've had various rites of passages that people have gone through. And I've understood that for years with patients. And I've always kind of explained that. But now I find myself in that precarious situation as a mother, right, to a boy, when I realized, oh God, he's going to be a man one day. You know, like,
and he's going to be having interesting smells coming out of his room.
And things and sex. Like, it freaked me out a little bit, I'm not going to lie. Right. So when I say that to you, just even that in and of itself, like, what's kind of the first stuff that might come to mind when I say that?
You know, it's interesting listening to you, because I think the definition of even just the role model, whether it's the father or the mother that takes on that role for both parents, a lot of this has changed, I think, over time. You know, I think, like you said, rites of passage and looking at historically what the male figure did for, you know, the child, it's, you know, it's a new day. And I think that I look at some of my role models even now are my single mom friends, like really raising, you know, several kids and having to take on that role to a father, mother. I was very fortunate and still am, you know, with having a cohesive family unit with a great supportive father, instilled to this day. My mother, especially, she was always there to, you know, I played tennis when I was younger, played a lot of sports. I think that was a big part of helping to, you know, shape even how I am today with having certain commitments and responsibilities and focus and drive and determination. And I do think, you know, if your kid is interested, support them. But I never had parents that forced me to do one thing one way or another. If I think back on it, you know, they kind of let me steer the ship just with support and help to build that confidence. And I think the confidence is what was important, because I've gone through a lot in my 51 years, whether it's personally evolving and having to, you know, come to realization of certain things about myself as a person, and then also business-wise, you know, challenges. And I look back on, you know, that foundation of the support that I always got from really both parents. And it wasn't, I can't, listening to you describe, you know, about the father being, you know, certain role model, I know my father was amazing. We would go, he's big, he's a man's man, you know, big outdoors guy. We would go hunting when I was a kid, fishing. We had a little lease of land in a Immokalee, Florida. I grew up in Miami, Florida. And he and his buddies, my dad was an airline pilot, you know, so he was very present. I think that was very fortunate. Like when we had, you know, Christmas and all of our holidays, my dad was there. You know, he was there when we were, but at the same time, he was out flying a lot. And my mom was there to support me as I was really getting into my tennis career. I mean, I played tennis every single day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year from probably age, I would say, 10 all the way through college. You know, I mean, that was a big part of my life was, and you know, so I look at, my mom drove me around the whole state of Florida and flew me around the whole country to support me. So I look at, when I look back, I look at both of my parents equally having given me my sense of self and giving me the chance to develop my sense of self, you know, and develop something from within. But they were good at not guiding me forcefully, you know, because we tend to want to, I don't have any kids, like you said, I've only had fur babies, but I've watched some of my friends right now, you know, because I'm 51, so a lot of my friends have kids that are getting into their 20s or even, you know, late teens, and some of the challenges that you see with them and some of the things that I have to hear, I'm like, holy crap, thank God I don't have any kids. It's not easy. I mean, I, you know, and some of my friends that I thought they were the most, you know, one of my friends, she called me and her kid was just some of the stuff that both kids, and they were they're good kids, you know, they just make mistakes. And so I know for her, because she had never experienced anything like that herself as a teenager, like she had never gotten into trouble. She was like, never. So she was like, what's going on? I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And I was like, you're not, your kids are being kids. They just have to go through some of those things themselves. I was a good kid. I would say that I was one of those kids that, you know, I was always the one to hang out with the people, some of the kids that I could live vicariously through, watch them do some of the crazy stuff, but I wouldn't necessarily get in trouble for it, but I found myself drawn to them because it was kind of that little opposites attract. But I will say that my dad was such a good role model for me. I do think that both of my parents, my dad especially, had a very strong sense of faith. And I look at where I am today and how important it is, and not for me from a religious standpoint, just a spiritual side, and being able to develop a foundation with that, and just working on myself. You know, I think that's what's helped for me to grow as a guy, is to always be working on myself, and doing the work. I think a lot of people are either afraid to do the work or they don't know how to do the work. And you know, I think a lot of that strength and that commitment developed from my early years with my folks.
So, you know, John, I know what that means. Like you said it several times, like working on myself, I've worked on myself personally and professionally, and you just said it again, right? So I know what you mean, but I don't know if there, you could use maybe some different words for the listeners. Like what exactly does that mean exactly? Because I'm going to use the words again, personal development, let's say, right? People are familiar with self-help, you know, like self-help gurus or personal development and big names, let's say like Tony Robbins or, you know, any book in the Oprah Book Club kind of a thing, right? That are kind of designed for this know thyself, self-insight, self-awareness. And I would say, for me, this is one of those key pieces of how I would describe, it's called the Strong Man Podcast. So I'm like, how do I help my son become a strong man? And it's an interesting thing that that word brings up a lot of, everybody brings a different, some kind of perception or connotation to that sometimes, which I thought it was a pretty benign phrase, but it turns out it can trigger some people or whatever, mm-hmm. because some people could think of physicality or finances or
something. Yeah.
I always include, to me, that's in character, integrity, and emotional intelligence, which to me includes vulnerability. And that's something to me you display in spades. So can you maybe explain what that means or where that came from? Like, did you see your parents doing this kind of a thing? Or is this something you were born with to have this drive towards bettering yourself?
I think having, you know, parents that kind of set me free to grow the way that I needed to grow was I think I didn't want to let myself down with what they had instilled in me. And so I mean, from an early age, I was pretty driven in whatever I did, whether it was school, whether it was sports. And, you know, being involved in some of those things probably kept me out of some of the trouble that some kids can get into. Because I literally, right after school, I would go play tennis. And that was what I was doing all the time. So I didn't have a lot of time. And I had to stay in shape. You know, I had to stay physically in shape. And that was important to me then. It's just as important to me now. I mean, you're the one that taught me muscle equals longevity. I tell people that all the time. And, and it's true. You know, muscle has memory. And so I've carried that with me from the very beginning of, you know, from when I was not even just like working out in the gym, just staying active. That's part of working on yourself, so to speak, you know, finding things that make you feel better physically and not temporarily. You know, I know that when if I go for a few days where I don't exercise or something, I feel it, but I also know I'm retaining that because it's part of my lifestyle. I've never been one of these people, we had to go on a diet for this, that, or the other. It's just part of my lifestyle, you know? So it's harder for me to try to describe to somebody how to do it other than say, hey, here's what I do for the last, you know, 30 years. And it's a pretty consistent thing, and it's not exciting, and it's not some big hoo-ha thing. And
I actually love that you say that. It's not exciting. It's not some big, so for the listener, tell them your Instagram account. So I just say it right.
Oh, it's just my name. I am John Stupka.
Oh, it's that now. You got rid of didn't you have an auto in there at some point?
Well, that was my business. I had auto aesthetic. So my first name, and kind of wish I kind of so close wanting to go back to this. My real name. Otto, O-T-T-O, John Stupka. That's my father's name. I'm the fourth. That's a cool name, right?
It is.
However, when I was in sixth and seventh grade, Otto was a little nerd. There weren't a lot of Ottos, right? So I also have a nickname, which is I look nothing like all these different names sometimes, but my middle name's John. Nickname, believe it or not, pants are from the South. I have a whole story that I make up with this, though, we could tell it some other time, but it's Bubba, B-U-B-B-A. That's about as Southern as it gets, right? Yeah. So I have several different names. Otto, that was what is on my birth certificate, on my license today. So that was one of my business names, we called Otto Aesthetics.
When I saw your license, I'm like, who's this? Right, I'm like, seriously? And it is so Southern to go by a middle name, right? So it's I am John Stupka, right?
John Stupka. Yep.
Okay. It'll be in the description, you guys. But so for those who are not seeing, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can't fully see John, but John is gorgeous. So John is physically very fit. He's kind of got I don't know. You kind of have a perfect body physique. You're fit. Right. It's a perfect balance, John. He's pretty, lady.
I'll do a podcast every day with you, Dr. Stephanie.
Listen, that's okay. So you're physically, it's this lovely blend of strength and flexibility. You know, I know you lift, you do a bunch of stuff, and it is a part of your culture where you're lifting weights in the gym, doing yoga, you've been doing this stuff for a very long time. So it's a normal part of your practice. Like I said, some of it's not real pretty. Sometimes I don't feel like doing it. Yeah, I don't, but I go outside, I'm in the sun, and these simple, these like routine, kind of even ritualistic behaviors that are just small nudges constantly towards leading you towards pushing yourself, stretching yourself, bettering yourself, even if you aren't really feeling it that day or whatever. And it's a part of that whole experience where you're pushing yourself physically, and even in with the yoga, with the weights, and, you know, even, you know, caring about longevity and regeneration and nutrition. And also then like travel, you guys, he's like always into travel. So he's always got his shirt off somewhere, and you're always seeing like an 8-pack on a beach. So it's just kind of fun, period, right? Because you get to see new places because you like to explore.
Yeah,
right?
Travel.
It's like exploring, but it's like out, it's like the world and yourself and people. And you're honestly one of the kindest, like you're just a kind, nice, gentle, but physically strong. You're business wise, like John, you're like, you know what I'm saying? You're like, you're just looking like, oh God, he's financially successful. He wins at everything he does. He's gorgeous. And he's like the nicest guy you're ever going to meet. I've never heard you say a bad thing about anybody.
Oh, I just write it down. I can have a book that I can, no, I'm kidding.
You know what I mean? Like, you're just like, God, he's a nice guy. And what makes a mother like me, a woman like me fall in love with you more and more is watching how you are as a son to your parents.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's like, okay, if he wasn't the cutest thing ever, and of course, you know, all the women want to throw their panties at you, and then they get real sad when they find out you're not available and you're dead. You know, they're like, oh God, that sucks. I'm like, yeah, I know, right? Look at him. Everything about him is perfect. And he loves his mother.
I do. My parents, they're in their 80s now. And it was Jesse Itzler. He's Sarah Blakely's husband. She's the founder of Spanx. And he's a very successful entrepreneur. I was listening to was already practicing this, but it was really interesting what he said. He said, if your parents are, you know, in their 70s, 80s, and you're seeing them once or twice a year at the most, you may at the most have 15 visits, you know, or 12 visits. You know, if you think about in years, if you're seeing them once a year and they've only maybe if that the best have a 10-year span. People are living longer, of course. I'm doing everything I can, thanks to people like you, learning ways that I can help my parents with their longevity and just live a more quality-filled life. They taught me that at an early age. I will say my parents, when I was younger, it was really interesting. We, in the neighborhood, one Easter, so for Christmas, Santa was too lazy to wrap presents. So we would run out. I had two sisters. We'd run out and there's just piles. I have a pile, you know, and you have all these toys and on Christmas day. Easter was the same. We have a 3 baskets. And one Easter I came out and I had a bag of trail mix in my Easter basket. I had a carob coated, you know, familiar with carob chocolate, how yes. It just tastes like dirt, carob coated Easter bunny. And I was like, there is no such thing as the Easter bunny. It doesn't exist after that. But my parents were that healthy that I literally had to call my friend David down the street and say, can I just get one of your ears of your chocolate Easter bunny? Cause I can't, I have nothing. I have nothing to trade. And it was horrible because at the moment I felt bad. But when I look at back on that, I'm like, thank God my parents were really healthy. Like my parents, my dad was into selling Shaklee vitamins instead of books in our library. We had lecithin and vitamin Lee, buy all these different things. And that is what I saw growing up, even though back in the 70s, 80s, it was like casseroles. And I mean, look at some of the crap that we used to eat. My parents were always really into physical, you know, just into overall health and wellness. And thank God, right? Because a lot of times most of my friends, they didn't grow up like that, you know? So they didn't get that education early on. And I am very, very fortunate that I think that type of discipline has formed a lot of things in my life, you know, just in terms of how I make decisions. You know, I've always been entrepreneurial and I can't sit still. I wish I could sometimes just sit and relax. I couldn't tell you the last time my TV was on to actually see what's on Netflix or something, because I'm always into doing something, but a lot of it is to focus on continuing to grow. I don't look back. You know, well, you talked about the travel thing. I have one regret. I said, I don't have any regrets in life. And I didn't live a semester abroad. I wanted to do that and live in Spain. I was I took a Spanish for 4 years and I was on the tennis team and I was pre-med and, you know, I took a lot of labs and all that stuff. And next thing you know, you're taking, you know, 50 hours in school and trying to play tennis. So why be in a hurry to get out of school in 4 years anymore, right? Take another two and go see the world because you'll never see it the same as you could when you're through the eyes of like a 20-year-old, right? And living in hostels and different stuff. And I never did that. So when I graduated, I told myself, I am going to make sure I commit to myself. This was a commitment to myself to see more of the world. And I've done that even more so with having, you know, a partner from another country, you know, and being able to travel more. So that if you have something that you're passionate about, do it, you know, it's because you don't want to be a lot of so many people, especially at this age in their 50s, they live in regret, you know, and a lot of things they say, I shoulda, woulda, coulda. Well, you still can.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important for parents to hear though, too, who might be watching this, who get caught up in that, like that college should be done in 4 years. So there should be some structure. And I think that's changing radically now. Like we're all like, I don't even think you need to go to college or there's this and that. But you know what I mean? Things are changing, like you said.
100%.
Very, very radical. But I do still come across parents who want to kind of project and push onto their kids to do it the way they did it. Well, this is how I did it. And they're not realizing it's a very different changing climate. But here's just an example of, here's somebody again, I do have that one regret. Like, why was I rushing through college? You know, and I feel the same way about it. Where it's like, you guys, you take plenty of time. Like it's, I think it's kind of crazy how we expect 18-year-olds to declare a major, decide something for the rest of your life. Like,
exactly. Oh,
take your time.
What's the hurry? I remember going to Greece and I was on a, I think we were going on a boat from Mykonos to some other island. And it was all these young, I think they were like, if they were in high school, they may have been freshmen in college. And it's like, I would have never done that. You know, the kids have so much more opportunity now. The world is much more available to us than it used to be. You know, that wasn't even a thought in high school to go take a trip, you know, like a field trip to another country.
Yeah. It's a part of a lot of schools like curriculum, like a lot of international programs. Yeah. My son goes to school with the majority, it's 70 to 80% international students. Like he's not around a lot of Americans and he loves it actually.
And I really think it opens your mind up. And I think that's so important because we're in a very, I think in a lot of sense, a very closed off society, even though we have so many people from other countries living here that could allow, you know, try to get some friends from other countries, try to, you know, make a plan, even if you don't like to travel, to learn more about other cultures. I think there's one thing that I've practiced the most that I can is to not be judgmental of anything or anyone, or, you know, I think I just go in with eyes wide open, because at the end of the day, I think everybody is on the planet trying to achieve the same thing, happiness, have some love, you know, and be joyful. Really? I mean, what else is there? And, you know, you get all this other stuff that gets in the way of comparing yourself. That's, you know, social media tends to do that a lot of times. That's why on my social media, I try to show I'm having fun with, especially with my clients. You know, at this point in my career, I went through some really stressful times. You know, when you talk about earlier, you know, successful financially, I'm just getting there. And I went through, I lost everything.
Yeah. Let's talk about that failure. Let's talk about that. Cause I think it's important. Sure. That sign of resilience that, again, that's the kind of thing I think that parents are worried about for their kids. And I think, you know, boys and girls, doesn't matter, but I think sometimes, especially for boys, in terms of what I try to instill with my own son, in terms of, well, there are some things that are a little bit different. And he does see that there is massive financial disparity between me and his father. Simply part of that is, I didn't work for 6 years. I stayed home and raised a baby. I took care of you. Like, I mean, what do you think is going to happen if I don't make an income for 6 years? Like, and I did that because I wanted to, because you were the most important thing. So men have a lot of pressure about getting the money. I mean, that's just, tell the truth. I don't care how gender roles are changing. I still see that as it's a thing. And, you know, like your dad took you out hunting, and I know you've done a lot of hunting, like men, you know, get food or whatever. That's money now, right? There is that. I don't care. I think that's kind of like a primal kind of feeling, as part of worth and value. So getting your ass handed to you and losing everything certainly takes a toll, I think, on men a little bit more even.
I mean, it's a major confidence hit. I mean, I was at some really low points when, you know, you look back and there are some things that happened, and this was 2008, you know, I just got my business open. I was second year killing it, opening new locations. And then the bottom dropped out of the earth, and you're not sitting money in a big bank account when you're growing your business with your intention to have like 10 locations. You're like, put it back in the business now. And I probably didn't always make the best financial decisions at the time as well. However, you know, it was, the real estate market is what really crushed me, because I had the opportunity to buy the building where my business was, and that just went totally upside down. And I had to get out from up under that and file bankruptcy and do all these things while I'm having to put on a happy face and hold events, you know, at my business and act like nothing's going on. I had to move out of my house because I didn't know if I was going to lose my house or not. I didn't want to, but if I had to, I had to. And for 6 months, I rented my house out. I moved in. I had an office across the street, and it was up above the pet, like literally people come and get their dogs groomed there. And I literally slept in the office up there for at least a month and a half. So you do what you have to do. Nobody knew these things, yeah. You know, and I'm not ashamed of them. I'm like, hey, this is part of probably what's made me who I am today. And know that really what it taught me too is the most important thing to me is time and more than money. It really is, Stephanie. I mean, I think that for me, money is important, but you can definitely have a comfortable and good life without a ton of money and all the stuff. It actually taught me in that I don't need a lot of stuff to have a great life. What to me, my life is more about experiences, and I have to have time. I have to carve out the time. I can't be working 24/7 at a brick and mortar business, which I had, which I don't. I was able to keep the business and sell it a few years ago, you know, which grateful for that. But it put a lot of things into perspective for me that I hope young men and women learn earlier, that life is really about experiences. Because I always say your last few days on this earth, if you get the opportunity to reflect, and hopefully you will, won't be, well, I wish I would have had that other car or that other house. Be like, oh, remember that time we were in Croatia, we jumped off the cliff, you know, into the water, or we were in Morocco and we were on a camel. You know, these are the things that I've done in my life that you can't put a price tag on that, right? So that to me has become paramount to, and getting to spend time with my parents at this point in their life, to go home with them and see them, you know, that's really important for me too.
Yeah. I was going to point out again, because I specialize and I see all mental health issues, John, that level of resilience to be okay with, like, okay, this, I'm going through some hard times, and I can't be running my decisions on my pride. I can't have shame be guiding me. And I certainly can't hit the bottle or the crack pipe or the
right. I will tell you, it wasn't,
it's different.
Yeah, it wasn't easy, Stephanie. I mean, if I didn't have some of the tools that I had learned, mm-hmm. and tools, Joyce Reynolds from Spiritual Living Center. She's she's what, a motivator of one or a thousand, she used to call herself. And she had been a severe alcoholic, had gone through all these different motivational ways to improve people's lives. And she talks about scripting, you know, I just write it out. I still, to this day, I will say I'm a good 5 day a weeker. I can't say I'm doing that every day.
Are you doing like future pacing scripting?
Yeah.
You mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Like things.
Not to explain what that is. Explain that to the listener, because not everybody knows.
Yeah. So you really write down as if things have already happened. I wish I had my little book. I could tell you what I wrote today. But it's everything from just starting with, you know, I'm grateful that, you know, I have so much abundance, that my bank account is very full. If it's something on prosperity, you know, right now I'm focused on some sales. So I said, it's, you know, I'm having the best time with these three new clients that just bought this device that I sell, and helping them. And, you know, I script a lot of that out, and I'm telling you, it works. And I remember one time she used to come and speak at my business. I used to bring her in initially for my staff, and then we would have these little monthly get togethers for our clients, anybody. And this woman's amazing. I mean, there's other people with this same ability, but I connected with her. I met her early on. A lot of the tools that I was able to use to get me through those difficult times, that's important. I think you have to find some type of tool to use to help you, because I don't think you can just get through certain things on your own.
I think that's important to say. And again, I think the reason you would, you know, some of this is probably to do with your parents or just the inner drive that you would even be willing to find somebody to teach you to do something like, okay, I'll try that. Like, and I get that's coming from that drive of wanting to be better and to grow. Cause I'm just saying, I'm seeing way too many people giving up, wanting to check out, you know, suicide rates are through the roof in children. I mean, children are getting in such levels of despair, John. Teenagers are like, I can't do this anymore. Like, that's kind of where I'm at and why I started doing this podcast, to figure out like, how do we ask the people like, what did you learn? Is there any key thing? And I'm hearing a lot of the same things. I mean, there are these themes. I think physical fitness and a sound body is important for both genders, but I will say it seems to play out. I do a lot of genetic testing. I look at a lot of things like how BDNF plays out and different things. And physical activity for boys, particularly like that are may have been diagnosed with something like ADHD or anxiety, can have like a triple effect as what the medications can have on healing with them. And it is concerning to me how much of, you know, physical activity and physical fitness and is not encouraged in today's environment. You know, it's not important in school. Parents might not be doing it. Parents are straddled with three jobs, over consumed with debt. You know, they just don't know how to get that done, but it's a piece that these kids need. Like it's the most prescriptive thing I could give them. And the schools don't value it. They're not getting.
No, I mean, the physical ed, I don't even know what schools these days, because like I said, I don't have kids, but physical education, do they have PE still?
A little bit, yeah. So I'm hearing that, and it's really interesting. Like, I didn't even know that about you in tennis. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
know that was your thing. You know what I mean? Like, oh, wow, like you've been doing this forever. Yeah. And I not, you know, which makes sense. You know,
so,
and
then, you know, sports do instill a sense of discipline in you for sure, yeah. Especially if you already have that foundation and you kind of have that inner drive. I'm fortunate like that. Everybody, I don't know that they have that. So it has to, they have to work a little bit harder. You know, I think that maybe I don't have to work as hard as some other people, but I do know that when I went through the most challenging times in my life, I did have to access, find other vehicles and tools to help me.
Kind of move that energy. Did you ever go through, like you kind of said, like, well, I was always pretty much a pretty good kid. I would maybe hang out with you, like you're like a moth to the flame to the other kids. Like, but did you go like, did you go through any of that kind of teenage
like rebellious
anger? Like, you ever put, not
that I can think of. I honestly, I don't think I had time. I did not have time. Keep people busy. They can't focus on other stuff to distract them. You know,
your parents just made you so damn tired. There was nothing left in the gas tank.
Well, I wanted to win. You know, I wanted to be one of the top tennis players in the state. And I was, you know, in the top five. And that was a pretty big, because that's, you think about Florida's an all year round tennis place, California, Florida, because of the weather. So I wanted, you know, I was able to get a partial scholarship to college and all those things. But then I broke my foot. That was tough. My last year playing in a national tournament, didn't realize it. And I started playing tennis at college and I was in a lot of pain, and probably didn't help that I was out at the late night library with a wooden shoe on, you know, dancing on a Thursday night. Isn't that a great name for a bar though? Late night library. And they had t-shirts. Yeah. Mom calls, tell her I'm at the library.
Exactly.
Right. And so I think that was tough for me. My career was pretty much, I only made it a year and a half. But that I was really focused on, hey, I'm going to be a doctor, you know, pre-med. And then I didn't end up liking the hands-on as much as I thought when I worked in the hospital my last year. So I got right in the medical sales right out of college. And that's, but I've always been driven, you know, I don't like having any limitations. I could never be in a job where you can only make X amount per hour, you know, or per, you know, I want to sky's the limit opportunity, no matter what it is. And I've always been in that roll with my sales, you know, because it's like all commission based. So those are all things that motivate me. Because yeah, I like money. Who doesn't? You know, I want to be able to. I want to be able to have nice things and go nice. Really, I you know love to have enough money to just fly all my friends, you know, somewhere internationally for a fun trip. That's really my ultimate goal.
Right. So you know, let's ask a couple things that again, some of you guys that don't have kids get timid about answering this, and I'm like, it's okay when a parent asks you, you're allowed to give parenting advice, so don't be afraid, right? So I know you do hang out with a lot of women with kids. Maybe many of them are divorced or you know whatever, so they're kind of sort of pseudo alone or something like you know. And do they ask you about, like, especially boys, like, oh, there's this thing, or you know, and do you ever give any advice? And because I'm going to lead that up to, I'm looking for you to give some advice for the listener. It's like, if I was a parent of a boy today, or if I was a boy today, I would want somebody to tell me this or look out for this. And it might just be repeating what was done for you. I don't know, but the landscape is a little different today. I mean, we know that there's just different opportunities, different things discussed. It's just different, and different traps. I mean, you and I did not have social media. You and I did not have cell phones. there's a lot of differences going on today. We didn't have 500 channels. There was, ABC, NBC, CBS kind of a thing.
Right.
When we were kids. So, I'm looking for that, your take on it. And again, just from what you see and the challenges you see, the women, the parents in your life kind of going through, what's even some of that where you say, oh God, that's kind of normal. Like they're just being kids. Like that was a piece of
advice. Yeah. My one friend, her son was caught with a fake ID. I mean, gets pulled over and literally has the fake ID behind his ID. So the police officer kind of sees, like, first of all, how stupid do you have to be? And it made me think about, I did that, but when I was in college, we literally had a poster board behind us with the state of Florida. I mean, and we would take a picture to make a fake ID, and you would like cut it out of laminate. I mean, it was horrible, but I don't even know if it ever got us in any place. We might've been able to buy alcohol with it. Kids haven't changed.
No, I think before you do this, I'm going to tell you, my son, his roommate got a fake ID. He's from Africa. And he goes, Mom, it's the best story. I said, but he's so stupid. I said, well, he goes, he didn't check the drinking age in America and he made it for 19. He goes, I always bust him on that all the time. I'm like,
that's really good. That's not too bright. That's so funny. But, so kids are kids. They haven't changed a whole lot. Do I think the forces can be greater because of, accessibility to certain things that maybe I wasn't exposed to, that could lead you down a path. But I think that the foundation's there. And I think it's important. I think parents need to focus on their own health and wellness first. And I think in order for them to be able to instill a little bit more of that in their kid, they got to be with the program. And there's a lot of parents that aren't. I mean, they're not a good example for their kids. I'm fortunate. So I think the road to a strong, long-term child, male, help them with their health and wellness. I do think also trying to understand what some of their passions are. I think for your son, what are some of your son's passions? If I asked mom, what would you say?
Nature, survival, bushwhacking,
yeah,
big stuff, biking, mountain biking.
Yeah. Is there any of that that kind of
business freaks out? Stocks? He really likes the stock market.
Okay.
And then what have we done? We gave him $3,000 and he plays in the stock markets and he manages his accounts. And he's awesome. He's been to 12-week and 4-week and 16-week primal outdoor survival camps, absolutely saying, okay, this is what you're into. Kind of like your parents, then I'm going to support that. Played, team sports. My son doesn't do that. Like people said, I had a friend say, doesn't it break your heart that he hates soccer? I'm like, no. I could care less. I really don't care that he doesn't play what I played.
And that's probably a good example of a parent who's restricting their kid. If they have that outlook, in my opinion, to make a comment like that, you're not restricting him. You're letting him pursue some of his inner passions and letting him discover more things about himself. And I think that's the most important thing that parents can do. And sometimes they probably don't realize what they're doing, right? That they're putting more of their own, a lot of times it's their own fears onto their kid, and to really be mindful.
We all do it. I do it too, John. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I love this. This is a common message. And one of the first things you said is parents work on yourselves.
Yeah.
And you have to show it and be it if you want them to do it. Cause they do what you do, not what you say. That's for sure.
Today's episode is brought to you by my favorite skincare line that I use every day, but they just launched their men's collection. Yes, Pomifera now has something for the boys, including beard wash, beard oil, and a men's body butter bar. So these three new products are in one new collection, and in honor of expanding this new product line, the men's category, there will be 99-cent shipping for the entire month of August. So go ahead and grab the men's grooming collection at pomafera.com/Rimka. That is pomafera.com/Rimka, R-I-M-K-A.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's why even in my business, I'm like, look, I got to take advantage of what I offer my clients because I got to practice what I preach, right?
Yeah.
If I'm preaching health and wellness, I got to live it. I can't be some blob and get on here and talk about health and wellness. So,
All right. So we got that, parents working on themselves, finding out what the kids are interested in, not trying to force them into fitting some, you know, box of what I want them to be, which can be really tricky, right? For parents, because children are an extension of you.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like, and people think, well, they're going to become the religion, the political party. And I went to school, so, you know, I'm part Indian, but I'm very American. I'm very not accepted by Indians, really. My mom's like, oh, they're not going to like you. Just learn to be okay with that, because she chose American culture and over India.
Right.
So I went to school with so many Indians, though, guys that brilliant. I remember my one friend, he finally, like, not exactly was crying, but he was kind of almost crying because he wanted to get a PhD in religion and become a college professor. And that would bring utter shame to his family because he had to go to medical school because that's what they all do. End of story. And there's no choice. So I'm looking at him and go, what, Sajid? What are you saying? He's like, oh, no, I can't. He loved it. He kept taking religion. So he goes, like, well, why don't you just do that? Oh no, my father, I can't major in this. He goes, that would bring great shame to my family. And like, there's no choice. I have to become a physician. And there was about five or six of them that said, oh no, there's no choice. And if their grades dropped a little bit, they're like, oh no, if it drops, they're pulling me out and sending me to medical school in India. Like, I don't have a choice. And it's so different, right? Than how, as an American, it's like, what?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. If you're somebody listening to this and you're from a culture where there's that kind of pressure, I think that's...
And it works for many of the... I'm just saying, it's just it's very different. It's a very different cultural thing. You know what I mean?
It is. I do think, though, that a lot of people that come from different cultures pursue so many things outside of what their family would have supported. And sometimes they have to go out and spread their wings on their own and can't... You know, not to not have a wonderful family, but you find your family in many different people, right? And you find your, I think the most important thing is you find the family that supports you the most, and no matter what decisions that you're making, you know, as long as they're healthy decisions for you, your mind, your body, your future, and let that family be the people you surround yourself with that are focused on your overall success. You should always be happy for your friends that are succeeding. You should always want the best for your friends, for anybody for that matter. And I think that's what I try to focus on, you know, seeing the best in people. You know, sure, has that gotten me in trouble many times where I give people the benefit of the doubt and feel like I've been taken advantage of and hurt? And, you know, sure. But I try not to let that tarnish me for the next experience that I'm going to have. I think that's really important.
You don't come off at all, John, as somebody that you can take advantage of, or that it doesn't understand boundaries. You know what I mean? Of course, anybody can be conned, but I mean, I hear you say that. I want the listener to know, from knowing you personally, you come from a very strong sense of, I love that, assume the best in people. Well, of course, I'm going to assume the best in person, people, that they're competent, they're doing the right thing, but it certainly does not set you up to be like the dumb guy that people are going to take advantage
of. Oh yeah, no, I definitely don't have a problem speaking my mind, and you know, even more so today than ever. And if I feel that something is, you know, being said in a certain way that I don't like, I will definitely let people know. It doesn't matter who you are. I had a doctor the other day, a very well-known facial plastic surgeon, come to an event that I had, and you know, of course, I'm in sales, and this is a really unique, innovative device I sell. And you know, he had made a bad purchase 2 years ago, so his wonderful esthetician and brought him that night. She really wants this device, and she had him there, and you know, so many of his questions were out of the fear of him making another bad decision. And so at the end of the night, great night, he comes up in my face, if any of my patients want their money back, and my reputation is so important, and I said, doc, I need you to stop right there. I said, my reputation is just as important as yours. I said, and so I want you to know that you have to get comfortable with the decision you're going to make about this investment. But my reputation at this age is all I have. You know, I don't care if you buy this or not, to be honest with you, but I do care about your reputation. I care about mine. So we're on the same page with that. I mean, because, you know, it's interesting when you hear people that are like in your face and they say stuff, and I have no problem just putting it right back at them and setting them straight to know that you're not any better. You just made a bad mistake. Just get over it. You know, I mean, really, I said you could have made so much more money if you would have made a better device. Now you can, and you know, look past that bad yeah. financial decision.
You know? Yeah. All right. Let's go back to the guy. I took you on an offshoot. So what? So the parenting advice. What else is? I like some of that. It's like, remember, you know, hey, we all had fake ideas. I kind of like, you're right. Like, oh man.
That's why I laugh when my friends tell me some of these stories with their kids, and they've all had them, you know, yeah. And then some have more.
Are they really surprised at some of those things? Cause I'm like, there's stuff my son has done too. And his dad, I said, oh God, I said, Peter, I'm not going to bust his ass for something that I used to do the exact same thing. I go, it's not that big of a deal. That's kind of a normal teen thing. And then John, there's some things though, I have to tell you, as a woman, I'm telling you, my brothers had way more energy than my sister and I. And I've talked with a lot of men, and see a lot of men's and boys' patients are very different. And the men are like, oh no, we do. Like, they're more likely to put their fist through a wall. They're more likely to break something. And again, you basically said, I was just too tired to do that. And you maybe weren't ever going to do that anyway, but there's more of that. And that energy can be frightening to parents, and particularly I think women, that you're like, whoa. You know, in general, girls are quieter. They're more invisible in the classroom. Boys are louder, moving around more, doing, you know, there's more physicality to the whole thing. And there are times that I do have to check in with guys and I'm like, I have no idea. Like, oh my God, he said this. And I'll be crying. Like, my feelings are so hurt. Oh my God, he said this. And they're like, they go, oh, Stephanie, how old is he? I go, 16. They go, oh, that's 16. They go, if I will tell you, I still regret things I said to my mother. I feel so bad because I promise you it will end. But he's getting these hormone things. It's really uncomfortable what we're going through from like 16 to 17 and stuff. And I know that, John, but like I do have to get check in with men. They'll go, wait, what did he? They go, oh yeah, I did the same thing. I did right. the same. And I know now they're like the greatest guys, calm, amazing, lovely. You know what I mean?
I think it's just part of the development where, yeah. you know, as guys, you don't want your mom, you know, telling you this, that, or the other, you know, how to dress or how to do this or, you know, how to behave or, you know, you just don't want to listen to anybody. And I think, I mean, girls are like that too. You know, we all go through a bit of rebellion. I would say I'm probably more of a mama's boy than maybe most, maybe not. I think that's a good thing, you know? And I think your son probably, it sounds like he is too, because you've given him the leeway to pursue his passions. And I think that's extremely important. So even though he might have
he still has that energy, John, I'm telling you.
Might get pissed at you and he's going to continue to, and he's going to, but at the end of the day, he knows his mom's got his back.
I think that's the key, what you said, the way you said it, I was like, oh God, that's it. Like no 16-year-old wants to have no dude wants his mom telling him what to do. You
know? No, not at all. I mean, most people don't want anybody telling them to do, period, much less when they're in those formative years, you know. It's like, okay, mom, you walk way behind me, you know.
It's hard though, right? Because you know, like those teen years, 7, 8, 9, whatever, the teen years start to change where like they think they know everything and they don't know everything, and you're trying to keep them safe, right? Like your friend, like, oh God, a police were involved, right? Pulling over, you know what I mean?
It was worse than that. I mean, they had to go to jail. I mean, they had to call them. So it got a little bit worse. I think it's important for parents to do things to make their kids proud of them as much as you want to be, you know, your child to be proud of your child, to also do things that are going to make your kid proud of you.
I love that.
And I think it goes two ways. And I look back at a lot of things that my parents did for me. I'm so proud of them for for doing what they did for me. And I think that is important. I'm the person that I am today because of a lot of that early things that were instilled in me with them. And, you know, you as a single mom, you know, hang in there. You're going to have those moments where your son will say something that sounds really hurtful, but they'll feel guilty when they go in their room, regret. He might not come back and say, "Mom, I'm sorry." Maybe he will. But you just have to do your best to know those are just words. That's not what he really means. You know, because the next day will probably be a totally different energy. Right. And so you just have to kind of move through those moments as quickly as you can, because they're going to keep popping up. They'll keep coming up the whole life. They just may feel a little more intense in those years of you trying to understand what he's going through, you know, developing. But it sounds like you're doing an amazing job with
him. Well, it's not about what I'm doing. You know, it's really just about, like, again, I'm trying to gather the information, but it's also like for so many of my patients and so many of my listeners or people part of my tribe who the kind of questions I get. I have so many women, right, with raising boys that are going through this, that are, they're coming to me because it's an ADHD diagnosis typically, or maybe oppositional defiance or aggressive behavior. And often I disagree with some. I'm like, "God, he's not." They're saying he's what? I'm like, "Oh, this sweet little boy." You go, "He's just hurting." And usually, again, there's inflammation. There's an issue. I can find it. I'm like, "Oh, no, this is all that's going on." It'll take us 3 months or 6 weeks, or sometimes it's very fast, you know, believe it or not. They're like, "Oh my God, it's like a miracle." I'm like, "No, it's really not. It's just, they didn't look at what was underneath the behavior." So I say that to say, because I do it clinically all the time. And I have so many moms, particularly, I would say definitely more in the moms of color, where for them, they're like, their 9, 10, 12-year-old black boy, they're like, "I can't have him disrespecting and not listening, because it could get him shot, like going to prison," you know? So like, it's really brings up like, he better be obedient, right? There's that. And I'm like, and ADHD, impulse control, or anxiety can cause a lot of erratic behavior that they're just trying to get comfortable, and it gets misinterpreted a lot. And then they get in trouble in school, and it just leads to one thing after the other. And for women, if there's not a good husband or a grandfather, an uncle, some guy around that kind of can help remind her that some of that energy, like, he needs physicality, he needs to wrestle or work out or box, you know, like, I know tennis, that's a lot of energy to knock the living
out. Yeah, 3 hours, man.
Explosive energy. And often women 30s and 40s are not doing anything explosive anymore. They're not understanding high intensity things. So I still do have some memory of that from playing college sports, and I like actual physical kinds of things. So I think I try to help remind them of that, but saying, "You don't have to do it, but we have to find him some place that he can do this." So I've seen it come up for so long, where as soon as I get that boy into like martial arts or boxing or something where he can start to focus on that and be allowed to be dirty and loud and kind of out of control with a bunch of people that they can handle it.
What boys do.
Yeah. Right. Like, and it's a completely different energy that he can contain. And I had to be kind of reminded of that. I had to be reminded when it came to my own son by my mentor, by Barry, saying, "Stephanie, like, hang on. You've gone so far, mother. You've gone so far nurturing. You've kind of forgotten." And he's like, "I get that's what you do. You're like, you mothers can nurture like nobody's business. However," you know, "you're almost, you can nurture too much and kind of smother mother." And he needs to be able to just.
Yeah, I think it's important for, you know, if you are a single mom, you know, to try to find activities that, like you said, are an outlet in that physical for that kid. You want, get those kids tired. Get your son tired.
Yeah.
Find something that's going to get him tired. You know,
I think that's one of the best messages. And I think, like you said, what is a big barrier at times is if parents are so inactive,
right,
so unhealthy and so unfit, and it's not a part of their culture, and they sit around and they're cracking open beer, watching Netflix. Well, that's why the kids aren't doing it either. And it does become, I hope that's, for me, I think a takeaway message I've heard in so many of these podcasts, that at the end of the day, if it's not a call to work on yourself becoming a parent, I don't know what is. Honestly, I've learned more about myself. My son has taught me more about my shadows, my inadequacies, where I want to be better. Like, because if you can't get your shit together to get better for your child, at that point, I think maybe there's nothing that's going to motivate you, because I don't think anything on earth can motivate you more like the love you have for your own children. Right. So if that can't get you out of, kind of off your ass, to do something, to read a book, to get a therapist, to go for a walk, whatever.
Well, and if you're that parent that's not too physically active, just listen to what we're saying, do your best to get your kid involved in something that's, if for anything, for your own peace of mind, because they're not going to have as much time to get off into things that you may not want them to, or, just be bored. So activities. So you name things I didn't even think about, like your kids into the forestry and
the survival stuff. That's all him.
I mean, that's so cool.
That's all him. His soul came in to teach me that. I mean, he said to me once when he was about 10, he goes, "Mom, I know you think it's kind of, maybe 11. And I think it's kind of crazy, like, that I'm into all of this stuff and I want to prepare." He's kind of like a prepper, right? That I want to prepare. Yeah. I said, "Actually, I'm going to stop you right there. I not only do I not think it's crazy, I think it's brilliant. I think you are so divinely connected to your soul source speaking. That's who you are. Nothing was influencing you in this life. Your dad and I know nothing about what you're talking about. I have nobody around you that does hunting or outside, nothing. I don't even know where this is coming from. The only place it could be coming from is from your inner self, your soul, your spirit. This is your passion. So please don't you ever think it's weird. I don't think it's weird. I feel bad. I don't know anything about it. I feel bad. I have to just, you tell me what you need. We're going to go find it. Like, I can't teach it to you. I wish I could, but I've gone camping with him. I've gone to the axe, knife throwing, hatchet throwing. I know about things that I never thought I would know about. I'm like, show me, teach me. Cool. Tell me how to make a fire. He is.
That's great advice.
Yeah. So it's like, they tell you, honey, I don't think anything's weird about it. I think this is a message that you need to understand. Anything you're this interested in that you enjoy, that is what you were born to do. So the last thing on earth I would ever want, please don't become an accountant. I don't want to do that kind of job. Please don't choose any safe thing. I go, chances are, you might be like a forest ranger or a wildlife rescue person. Clearly you don't need an office job and you need to be like, on some mountain doing some, I don't know what you're going to do with that, but this is what you've been into since you were like four. It's a part of a passion, and please know, and I told him, please know you can make money doing what you love, and it doesn't need to look like what you think. So that's been true. My message as well, to say that to him. And
I think that's good advice for any parent listening, really try to hone in, and even if it's a passion you don't understand, you don't get, but it's one that really gets them going, and you can tell it lights them up, as long as it's not harming anyone.
No, right.
And
he knows like what I do. He's been in my office my whole life. He's seen that I take care of patients, and he's been very clear. Oh, I have no desire to do healthcare. I would never want to do anything that you do, right? He's like, oh no, I think it's
cool. Smart kid.
Right, exactly. But like you said, John, I like that idea. Like, do things your kids respect. And I do know, on the one hand, like, he respects it. You know what I mean? And I remember I felt guilty when I was reopening and I went back to work. I was kind of struggling, like, well, I don't have a choice. I got to make some money. I'm all out of money. So, didn't win the lottery, even though I never bought a ticket. So I guess I need to open a practice again, right? I'm going to have to work and have to deal with, how do I juggle this and making sure I'm always with him. And I didn't want any babysitters. I didn't want any of that, because I barely saw my own mom because she had to work 80 hours a week. So I'm like, I don't want to do that to him. And then I really saw over the time of it, and I managed it real well, where I could get him every day after school. I brought another doctor in, so I could work part-time. I have a full-time practice. And I really would see how he was. I'm like, he's very proud. Yeah. Like, this is my office. Like, my mom is Dr. Rimka.
Yeah, that's what I
said. I'll tell you what I'm doing now, speaking of the gym. Or working out. You know, I'm working out with my son and he's killing me, right? So part of why, and people who don't know, like I've been saying it for a while, you know, I've had injury, broke my back in college in a soccer game, and I've had blown discs and just lots of whatever. And then I've always wanted, maybe I was mostly fit, could do everything with them. Well, as he got a little bit older, you know, I was his basketball coach for a few years. I was his football coach as well. I've been involved in those kinds of things in his life. I mean, a little game, little when he was young, you know, a little when it's like co-ed, just so everybody knows, right? So it wasn't really his thing, but we made him be exposed. He's like, yeah, okay, he didn't like it. And he did triathlons. He did kind of different stuff.
Wow, that's
Yeah,
awesome.
he did that. You know, and I was always there, just, yeah, you know, don't know. I can't even swim, but I'm like, I made sure he knew how. So, but my back, everything started falling apart a few years ago when I got sick with the mold, and I couldn't keep up with him anymore. I couldn't ride my bike. I couldn't play catch with him anymore. I couldn't play baseball. I had to start saying, honey, I can't. I gotta lie down. Honey, I gotta lie down. Mommy's back hurts. I'm so sorry. Mommy's back. I'm so tired. I kept having it. Now, I couldn't. I got sick. It is what happened. But I very much was like, I cannot keep saying this to this child. I can't have his memories be of me lying in the bed in pain and me on the ground crying at times, you know, telling him how to heat up food on the stove because I couldn't walk because I couldn't move my legs, right? So I started back. I'm like, I need a trainer. I got to rehab and I'm doing all, you know, all the stuff, the prednisone injections, everything. And I let him know. I'm like, let me tell you, like, I want this for me, but my number one reason I'm committed to doing this while you're committed to working on yourself, because he was overcoming a lot of anxiety for the mold from him. I said, while you're doing this, I'm doing this. I'm building this body back as you're learning to rebuild your control of your brain and your emotions. And I'm doing it for you. And I hope you'll be proud of me because this is hard. It hurts. I'm in pain and I don't like it, but I'll be damned if I can won't be able to get on a mountain bike with you again. That's I won't go out like this, right? I promise you, I'm going to get it back. And so now this summer, you know, he's sitting, I've been, he, and I said, he goes, Mom, I go, impressive, right? He's like, you are really doing it. And so we go to the gym. He said, I want to get jacked. I was like, okay, I'll join a gym for you, whatever. And so we're going. And John, it is the one place on earth. My son is like the nicest to me ever. He's like the sweet 5 or 6 year old again. And he wants me to work out the whole time. Well, Mom, you're gonna do the whole set with me. Don't go off and do the massage thing. Just do the whole thing.
Is he kind of coaching you through stuff
He
too?
wants me to
Like,
fire my trainer.
that's
Because
awesome.
you
Look
should just fire your trainer. I could train you. I could do it. I could totally do it. And
that.
so you know where I'm at? I just like, screw it. I'm exhausted. But he does. So, and so now I said, you know what? Let him lead. I realize he needs to be in charge. Like you said, he doesn't want to listen to his mom. He wants to help his mother.
Yeah, definitely. And he
So
is. It
now,
sounds like he is helping you.
and he is, and we have a great time.
That's so
It
cool.
is actually the most like we're after I'm done with this, we're going to the gym. And I've already worked out once today. I really don't want to work out again, but I want to do it because I want to be with my son and I want my son to be proud of me. And I want to be able to, like how your parents, you know, like I want to continue when I'm 60, 70, 80 to be able to do things the way you're, you know, every time I see you somewhere, your mom's flying and meeting us and hanging out
Crazy,
with us
right?
and
But
doing that.
they're very, very active,
Yeah.
young 80 somethings, but
Yeah.
that's awesome that you're doing that. I think that's
But
good
it's
advice
important.
too.
I think it's important for people to hear. I don't think, especially women, get like, your kids actually do want to do stuff with you, but you're going to have to start learning the crap that they like. You know, you're going to have to do
Yeah,
it's hard.
let them drive a little bit in terms of
Yeah.
guiding that process and kind of let's see, have some fun with it, you know, and just let go a little bit. I think that that's a cool experience with going to the gym. So you're gonna have to let me know how that you just started this.
So it's been like 2 months or whatever.
Oh
Yeah.
wow, that's
The
great. That's
summer,
really
like I joined. Yeah. And it's
really
like,
impressive.
it's great, but I'm like, I literally tell him like, he's killing me. I'm so tired. And he likes to go at like 8, 9 at night. I'm like, honey, I can't keep doing
Yeah,
this.
that's a tough one,
I
right?
can't,
Mama
I can't go home at 10:30. So
needs
he's
to
agreed
sleep
to go
too.
sooner. I'm like, mama can't. He's like, but why? I don't know. I'm like, honey, 'cause I don't sleep till 3 in the morning. I can't do. So I've at least got him a little bit to, but it's an interesting thing. A 49-year-old hormonally shifting woman working out with her teenage son having to be like, oh, mom, you can do more than that. Put on, that's not even it. I'm like, honey, I can't. I just, you're gonna have to be okay with my baby weight. You know, like, I'm not 16, you know? So it's a lot, it's fun actually for like my ego. And it's fun for him to kind of see like, honey, it's not about that for me. And then every now and then I'll show him. I said, you want to see how much I can really do? And he goes, oh my God, your legs are crazy strong. I said, yes. Now I could crush you, but I don't need to do that because mama won't be able to walk tomorrow. So like, we're different and that's okay. But so moms who are listening and dads, like, it is pretty cool to start doing
something. And for sure, he's very proud of you. And I think, like I said earlier, you know, do things that are going to make your kid proud of you.
That's interesting. I didn't even think about that, John. That's a really beautiful reminder. Like, I think, again, it's like we think a lot about we want to be proud of them and we want to be bragging about them. But instead, it's like, what are you doing that your kid is bragging about you?
100%.
You know, I like that. I think that's a great place to end it, you know, awesome. Unless you have any other gem you want to drop, but I think that's a
good one. I think we did great. That was a lot of fun. Thanks. Awesome. Thanks for having me. I love this podcast.
Love it. So it's I Am John Stupka, you guys, first thing. And of course he is in the medical aesthetics beauty field. So why don't you just real quick, tell them what you do. Cause in case any doctors or practitioners are listening and they
need I'm big into the regenerative side of aesthetic medicine. So there's so many developments from different technologies, energy-based devices to stem cell technology from younger sources that we can use to help to signal our cells to act young again, whether it's to grow hair, whether it's to stimulate collagen, whether it's to, you know, do things that are going to lift and tighten the skin. And it's that perfect combination of all those things. It's always evolving in things from our own body that we can harness to help make ourselves healthier and stronger, or using something from, you know, another source that's safe and works well to get your body working better. Because look, everything in my body is 51. Sometimes it's okay to have something from a younger source to help kick it in. So I go into offices, mostly med spas, regenerative medicine places, plastic surgeons, dermatologists, and, you know, I have a suite of products. I don't work for any company. I'm independent, which is great. That's why I tell these people, like, I get to pick the best of the best to bring. And I think because I owned and operated my own med spas for 13 years, you know, I kind of have a good idea. I was very forward in a lot of the things that I did. I was probably one of the first places to do PRP, which is your own platelet-rich plasma that they use everywhere from injecting your hair all the way down to your penis and vagina, you know. Yeah. So there's so many into your joints and your knees. But the cool thing is with having that background is I learned the hard way. I made a lot of expensive mistakes investing in stuff I shouldn't. So a lot of times I try to teach people from my mistakes. That's what I tell them. So it's a great field. It's always evolving. You know,
are you only the Southeast or are you everywhere?
It depends on what I'm involved in. You know, okay, I work with a couple surgeons and have buying groups across the country, but most of what I do is focused in Georgia and the Southeast. Yeah.
Okay. I'll have his info in the description, you guys. So honestly, I mean, John is the man when it comes to all that. And whenever I have any issue, I'm like, John, I need a referral right now to the best, whatever, and which machine and what do I do? And he's going to help tighten up my face a little bit here in a minute. We're not going to lie. Cause we it's about that time. You know what I mean?
Hey, I get a lot of those requests. All my friends are right at, we're all in that age range. We're like, okay, gravity is still doing its thing. How do I slow this down? You know,
I'm like, all right, tell me what this new laser radio frequency thing you're doing now is. It, what is that? Right. Yeah. It's a cool device. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, John. It's been a pleasure. And look out for the next episode, you guys, and we'll keep you posted on who's coming up.